B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, let's get into the crux of the game. Okay, now they didn't do themselves proud all game long, but in the end, they still have a chance to actually win the game because the Cincinnati Bengals are inept as well. And on that one drive, they gift the Eagles up the field with two pass interference penalties. And so here we are now with a chance at they make the big throw to Zach Ertz. And now, this is before the decision. So the drive before that, they make the big throw to Zach Ertz. They get the false start and the hold. And then the play calling, get back in the field position. What did you see?
Well, I just saw a team that, we all understand that Carson has just been off. But there has been times, there were series where he looked good. There were series that he moved the ball a little bit better than others. I just saw the play calling to be very basic. No creativity. Again, we're looking for motion. We're looking to make it easier on Carson. And to be able to do that, we talk about motions, we talk about shifts, we talk about putting players in different positions. And maybe it's because of the injuries, and I'm sure that certainly has factored in. But I feel like Doug's creativity has just been decreased. And Mike, I have to be honest, that happens sometimes when your quarterback can't throw the ball to the guys in his own jersey, can't throw the ball accurately. That also happens when you have some injuries. And so I kind of understand it, but at the same time, Doug understood what he was going into this game with. He had to understand that if Deshaun is not able to finish, we have to find some else to make those types of plays. And unfortunately, he didn't do that.
All right. Now let's fast forward to thinking on your feet as a coach. When you're watching a game in real time, And they're set up to try to kick a 59-yard field goal. And all right, Matt Pryor makes a boneheaded play. At that point, you're thinking on your feet, what do you do?
Well, I think you have to go for it at that point. You kind of feel that even if at 0-2, even if you give them the ball, let's say you don't get the first down, you give them the ball with maybe 14, 15 seconds left, it's going to be hard for them to get down the field, get set up. And I'm not sure if they had a timeout. I don't think they did. It'd be hard for them to get down the field, get set up, and kick a field goal to win the game. You have to feel that way. But the other part, to me, and I think this is where everyone is a little bit more upset with Doug, is that he's been so aggressive in other situations that you wouldn't even be thinking about not going for it. This is something that we're going to go for, especially if you can't make the field goal that's out of the range of the kicker, of Elliott. And so at that point, I wanted Doug to be aggressive, especially based upon how the game has gone, how the season has gone up to this point. And, you know, a split second decision, he decided to kick it and basically not give his team the chance to win the game, which is something that I'm surprised at.
All right, because players look at it, too, that way, right? He's saying, basically, I don't have any faith in you guys to win this game.
Well, yeah, he's saying that, you know, I don't have any faith of converting that 4th-and-12. I also don't have any faith that if we don't convert it, then my defense can hold. And that's the problem, but that you're really doubting both sides of the ball. And I think when you look at it, quite honestly, when you look at the game, there's evidence to reasons why you might want to doubt both sides of the ball, the way that Joe Burrow and Tyler Boyd move the ball up and down the field at times during the game. But, you know, listen, you're 0-2. You got to go for broke at some point and play with a little bit of boldness. And unfortunately, Doug didn't do that in that situation. Yeah. He said it today. He would do something totally different.
Yeah, but he said after the game yesterday, I had to look at it with clear eyes. Dude, you can't afford to have clear eyes the next day. You got to have the clear eyes when you're coaching the game in real time. And it was clear to me he was spooked by the notion of being 0-3 because at 0-2 with a tie, there are fewer wolves at the door for him. And that's weak.
Yeah, I think I think for him, it probably feels a little bit better to be 0-2-1. I don't know that it makes it feel anyone else feel better. But I think there's something to be said about going through all these situations, situational football, in training camp and OTAs, all those different things. Because I remember playing, and John Harbaugh went through all these situations. Quick field goal. Here's the situation. There's 10 seconds left. Can we go out there and get another play and then spike the ball and then run our field goal team on out there? All these things normally are done during training camp and OTAs throughout that process. Unfortunately, some of that was cut short because of COVID. So not to place blame somewhere else, but I think all of those things happened, and that means Doug, because those things didn't happen, all those practices didn't happen, that means Doug has to think a little bit faster on his feet. And yesterday, just it didn't go in his favor, as you look at it.
All right, let's look at Carson Wentz, who, listen, I'll just let you explain it. You heard him talk after the game. You saw he did make a couple instinctive plays. He got back to running. I get all that. He missed a wide-open Sanders. He threw an interception foolishly where the guy was actually covered. It didn't matter if the ball was going to be tipped. What is up with the dude?
We see a player playing with zero confidence. He's not playing natural and comfortably. And as an athlete, you want to feel natural. You want to feel comfortable because that's when you get your best play. You just go out there and you're not playing tight. You're playing loose. You're comfortable. And that's what every athlete wants. You want things to slow down for you. So now you see things happening before they even happen. And for Carson, it feels like things have sped up. And things speed up for young quarterbacks that are inexperienced. And at this point, I can tell Carson is not reading defenses very well at this point, but he also is not understanding play concepts. And if you don't understand your own play concept and you don't understand what the defense is going to do, then that's when you throw interceptions. That's when you throw balls right into the arms of people that are on the other team. And we've seen that constantly. Throughout the entire season, we've seen Carson throw interceptions right to the other players. Not that they're running out of the zones and they're in bad position. It just kind of happens. He's throwing the ball right where these players should be in those zones. And that just tells me that he's struggling to read defenses and understanding concepts of his own offense. And for a fifth-year player, there's really no excuse for that. And I'll tell you, it seems like Doug is frustrated by that. I mean, Doug's a quarterback. He understands these concepts better than anyone. And it seems like he's frustrated by Carson not understanding the concepts and making throws to try to win the game and without that being necessary to win. And I think Doug seems to be a little bit frustrated by that.
All right, Brian, this is a mess. And this season looks like it's shot in the butt after three games. Now, they don't have any weapons at all now. Rager's out. Deshaun Jackson is probably out. Goddard is out. Their bellwether is Greg Ward, who's a slot receiver, used to be a quarterback. And now they've got to go at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, and the Ravens in the next three. I mean, what do you do here? How do you actually coach this team through this gauntlet here?
Well, it's certainly going to be tough. We do know that. But we do also know this. We're going back a couple of years that this team rallies around Doug. For whatever reason, they rally around Doug. We have not seen that recently, but they did rally around Doug at the end of last year. They rallied around him, I think, the season before. And so I hope that he can regain the pulse of the team, to regain the confidence of the team to go out there and try to play. You know, I thought going into the game, it was a Doug Peterson game. As far as it was going to come down to his play calls. And, you know, of course, the Bengals were one of the worst run teams in the league. He had to say, we're going to hand the ball to Miles Sanders. It came down to the way that he called the game, and I wanted him to take the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands. He didn't do that. He gave the ball to Carson Wentz, and Carson made some mistakes. I still think your best player, most exposed player on offense is Miles Sanders. Somehow in these games, you have to try to find a way to get him going. But this is a tough road ahead. 49ers, you talk about the Ravens. I mean, these are two of the best teams in the NFL, even with some injuries out there in San Francisco. It's going to be a tough next three games.
It was as bad a weekend as you could have here in Philadelphia, Brian. Eagles, Phillies. I'm looking around. I see Justin Jefferson. I see CeeDee Lamb. I see Jimmy Butler going to the NBA Finals. I mean, it's wretched right now, bro. I see Nick Foles bringing the Bears back.
Everybody that was in Philly or should be in Philly or could have been in Philly, they all had great weeks. We got to hope that at some point we can have one of those weeks here soon.
Yeah. Keep dreaming. Hey, man, thank you. We appreciate it. Good to talk to you on a Monday.
All right, Mike. Take care. All right,
Brian Westbrook, of course, you heard on the pregame show into that as we got ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. Anyway, Brian's brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.